This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 21st, 2014, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is good on occasion, no matter how good you get at something, whatever you may do, to get back to the basics. For many years, I was on the SWAT team, and SWAT guys do all kind of cool stuff. They shoot machine guns while they're running around. They'd run in rooms, come out rooms, jump over stuff. They're shooting this and shooting that over their heads, doing all kind of cool stuff like that. Every now and then, they'd come to training. What are we going to do today? Get your pistol and go out and stand on line. There'd be a paper target in front of them. Okay, pull your pistol and shoot one round in the middle of the target. They'd be like, oh, and why? Why? You know why? To get back to basics. You got to always know the basics. You can't always be on the fringy stuff, because then you start to lose the muscle memory, the things that give us a foundation. Same thing in our faith, probably even more so importantly in our faith. And that is the gospel, that which we derive our fullness of life, that which we derive the eternal glories of heaven. And it's good to know all kind of little things about it. It's good to know Greek and Hebrew, and it's good to know all these theological nuances here and there, be able to explain to your friends all the deeper things of the faith. But guess what? You got to get down to basics occasionally, because there are those people who know all that kind of nifty, fringy stuff. Then, to coin a phrase of a Baptist pastor that I listened to one time, they know all this stuff, but they're as lost as a short dog in tall grass. It's really true. You can lose sight of the fundamentals. You can lose sight of the basic things of your faith and know all kind of superfluous things, but it's important, and we can never lose sight of the basics. So, today, Gospel 101. What did our Lord Jesus Christ say? You know, so, what's the gospel? If I ask most people that, they'd be like, oh, how do I define that? What's the gospel? What does our Lord say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's pretty simple. Really look at it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I said, we're going to get down back to the basics of the gospel. Oh, what gospel? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Guess what? We're going to go back to Isaiah. Because in those three verses that we read this morning, heard read from Isaiah, from chapter 55, is the gospel. It's about seeking God, about repenting or conversion, and it's about who God is in very, very simple terms. Just like I said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is the gospel. It is the gospel. You don't really have to get any more detailed than that. That's what it is. As long as you know what repent is. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Three chapters in the Old Testament is a very succinct presentation of the gospel. Seeking God, your conversion, and who God is. Very, very briefly. But true and basic nonetheless. Foundational. Absolutely foundational. Let's talk about seeking the Lord for a second. The Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophet, says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That is not some kind of enigmatic warning that he's going to leave you. God doesn't do that. He's making a point that you need not delay. Not that you need not delay, you can't delay in seeking him. Now, we step back a second. We talk about seeking God. Well, I sought him. I'm in the church. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I go to church every Sunday, sometimes during the week. That's great, okay? It is great. Never lose sight of the fact, you can never step back from your faith and say, hey, I'm in the church, I'm good. No, you're not. None of us are. It's an ongoing thing. We are to be converted again and again and again and again. He never tires of converting us. I always throw out the formula. Yes, indeed, we have been saved by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saved, that we are being saved right at this very moment, and we will be saved to the uttermost when all things are over and done with. We are never, between those times, ever to stop seeking the Lord. We have to seek Him all the time. It is just not a definitive point in your life. Well, I found Him. I'm good. Again, no, you're not. We have to continually to seek Him. There is that initial conversion, but we are called to a constant conversion. That's why we have the Eucharist. That's why we have the confessional, first and foremost. Because just by our fallen nature, we cannot help but to drop the ball. You know, at the beginning of every Mass, those prayers that we say at the foot of the altar, you know, I pray you listen to those words that you're saying, because those are not the words that people are saying that are okay with God. We're not okay with Him. Every time we come in here, because every single day, in thought, word, and deed, we drop the ball somehow. We don't live in conformity the way He wants us to, and we have to let Him know that we know that. That's why we say those prayers of before we even ascend to the altar. That's how we start out. And they, again, are not prayers of somebody who's okay with God. Because each and every one of us should know that we are not. It's part of that ongoing seeking of God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Again, it is not so, He will never step away from you, but He wants you to not delay. You have to grasp the opportunities that He gives. And their opportunities are boundless. They never cease. You know, you can go to confession whenever you want, in this parish anyway, whenever you want. You know, I don't care, middle of the day, I don't care, you're well, as long as I'm not standing up here celebrating Mass, the next most important thing is to hear confessions. I don't care when it is. Yeah, we have some times that are on the schedule, but it's also underneath the times. Don't worry about the time schedule. Whatever. Okay? That's because God wants it like that. He wants the confessional all the time because we are forever dropping the ball. That's a little segue into the whole repentance thing, this whole conversion. You have to be able, when our Lord says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to understand what repentance means. It does not mean I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I don't do that. I'm sorry that I... No, it's not I'm sorry. Repentance means to turn away from the way things are or were, usually are, to Christ. We turn away from the things of this world and we turn toward Christ. Again, conversion is not I'm sorry. Repentance is not I'm sorry. But with that being said, and repentance is ongoing, again, the confessional. It's ongoing, but never approach that sacrament. Never approach this idea of conversion or repentance with the idea that God is some kind of vindictive ogre that sits on His throne on high and waits to zap you when you don't do well. It's just the opposite. He wants this ongoing repentance because He loves you. It's because it is founded on His goodness and His mercies. That's what it's all about, His goodness and mercy. Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way. Notice it doesn't say, if you might be wicked. It's a presupposition that you are. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Why? So I don't slam him? No, that he may have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. It doesn't matter how many times or how much. Abundantly pardon. All the time. Ongoing. Our repentance is part of our faith. And just like the seeking God, it never ought to stop. It can't stop. If it stops, there's a serious problem which we have to speak one-on-one. It can never stop. We are continually supposed to be converting, continually repenting, because seeking God necessitates forsaking evil. He cannot be in presence of any evil. And every time we drop the ball, it's an evil thing. And He is an infinite God, so any, even the smallest drop. So, the scriptures say, all sin is worthy of death. How is that? Because any sin is offense against God, and He is infinite, so the consequences of the sin are infinite. That's why they're all worthy of death. That's why we need to continually check ourselves, that continual examination of conscience, that constant seeking God, that constant repentance that He has given us all these different kind of options to deal with these things. Some of them are of necessity. That's why the church teaches you have to go to confession at least once a year. That's like bread and water for your spiritual life. Go to confession once a year, the Eucharist. You know, all these things are what He has given us to make this constant in our lives. Because He is righteous and great and merciful. He loves us. I said, this will be the last thing we talk about, seeking Him, repenting because we don't live in accordance. You have to know who He is, right? You know what? We're never going to know who He is. What He is, how He works. Because guess what? He is God and we are not. He is infinite, we are finite. We're never going to get it. That's one of the things you're never even going to get on the other side of the veil. You're never going to understand Him because He's God. And you know, we get so narrow-minded and so myopic on our view of what God is. This is a very, very succinct description of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He is not us. He is not like us. It's not. Don't get this image of God in your... You know, I hear this one. People refer to him. The big man upstairs. The big man upstairs? One thing, guess what? He's not a man. All right? He doesn't have a body. I mean, we talk about his nose, his right arm, his eyes, what he sees. He doesn't have a body. Okay? He's God. We don't get it. He's triune. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons. One in substance. We don't get it. Because, again, He's God, we're not. And we are never going to understand Him. And if you can feel sorry for God, I feel sorry for Him because He can't win for losing around people. It doesn't matter who He is or what you think about Him, He can't win for losing. If you talk about His justice and righteousness, He's a vindictive, angry God. And if He's merciful, and I hear this frequently, that person's never going to heaven because they this and they that, and they're this and they live this way. They're never going to get... Guess what? The last time I read, there was a thief on the cross, career criminal, who just, in the last moments of his life, looked at him and said, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. No RCIA, no baptism, no nothing like that. And he's going to be with him in it. There was probably some jaw-dropping with the angels when he showed up. That's how God works. That's His mercy. There are people, well, why should he be able to go to heaven? Just like the parable today. Yeah? Hey, would you work for me for, in our terms, a dollar? Yeah, I'll do it for a buck. Somebody comes in late in the day, he gets a buck too. Hey, I should get more. Why? You said it. It's not your money. You agreed with it? Go with it. That's how God works. You know, we don't delve into why He does what He does. We do not put our parameters of fairness on Him. We don't know fair. He knows fair. He's the arbiter of things, not us. So we don't look at Him in a narrow-minded way and think he's too much this, he's too much that, this person's going to get this, this person... Mind your own business. That's the bottom line. When it comes to God, we should mind our own business and thank Him that we are here. As an individual, and stop worrying so much about what this person does and that person does. I hear and see it all the time. I get to hear it all the time about other people. People that complain about other people, and I'm going in the back of my mind, oh my gosh. You know? That's the way we have to approach it. Mind our own business, because He's God and we are not, and we don't understand the way He works. Even in this church, we come in here, the Eucharist, body, He changes bread and wine into His body, blood, soul, and divinity. I go into this room with a priest and he says, I absolve you from all your sins and everything's good. That's ridiculous. Yes, it is in the world's eyes. And when it comes to reason, it's ridiculous, but not supernatural faith. In supernatural faith, we just thank God that He's like that. That He does give us His body, blood, soul, and divinity, that we can be strengthened for this journey, that He truly does forgive us all of our sins through the frail priest that's in a confessional. Thank God for it. Thank God that He's not like us. Paul stresses that in Romans 11, oh, the depths and the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. Thank God that He is who He is and not like us. He doesn't fly off the handle. He is just who He is, and He's got parameters. And those parameters are really kind of simple. Seek Him, find Him, and then continue to seek Him. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to repent, because we sin every day. Oh, I went to confession 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago. It's just the same thing all the time. So are your sins. Thank God that those things are mundane in here. Oh, church, it's the same thing all the time. Yeah, so are your sins. That's why we have it once a week. That's bare minimum. We are constantly to seek, we're constantly to repent, we are constantly to delve more and more into who He is. But when you start losing it and going, I can't get that, just know that His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways, as far as heaven is above the earth. And what does that mean? That's infinity. Because heaven isn't above, in spatial terms, above the earth. We have to be understanding that He is infinitely different than we are. He's not the man upstairs. So we cannot delay in seeking Him. We cannot delay in converting. We cannot delay in the confessional. Well, I'll go to confession 6 months. I'll go to confession Easter time. Guess what? You don't know if you have this afternoon, much less Easter time. With that, I'll leave you with a quote from St. Augustine. I quote, "It is true that God promises forgiveness for your conversion, but He does not promise tomorrow for your delays." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.